eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Here's former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus
and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 through the Fan in Dallas, joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation 2 to 7 p.m. Central Monday through Friday on 105 through the Fan in Dallas. He's also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. And Brian, am I allowed to make fun of LSU losing to Iowa?
Yeah, sure, Bob. Everybody else is.
You've been having a bit of a Twitter war again.
People do not understand my thought about this. And they think that I'm telling people that because they didn't go to the school, they can't pull for those teams. It's not the case at all.
You're just saying they can't trash talk you as an alum.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm giving up Twitter, Bobby. I'm not going to lie to you.
No.
No, seriously. I'm tired of it, man. I don't mean to use this platform to say that, but I'm tired of dealing with people this way. I really am. I appreciate draft questions and all that. My whole thing, and this is my take, and people aren't understanding me for my take, and I'm sorry that they don't, and maybe I'm wrong about it. If you went to the school, you know, and you know our teams play.
Yep.
And you went to that school, and you attended class, you got your degree, you went to whatever, and our teams play, and you guys win. Feel free to come after me. Feel free to trash talk me, call names, whatever you want to do. You know, just feel free. You know, I have no problem with that. The problems that I have are with the people that might be a fan of the school but never attended it, you know? I don't mind alums getting after alums. I never did, you know? And if people are taking it like, oh, well, I can't pull for the Cowboys because I don't live in Dallas, don't think that way about pro sports at all, folks.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, collegiate. I have a lot of pride in my school at LSU, And I'm not a big trash talker myself. I was a college athlete. I have a lot of respect for people that, you know, go to these schools and play, you know, and all that. I'm not going to trash talk you. That's not, we always ask that question. Oh, who's the best trash talker on the team? I would be the furthest guy away from trash talking, you know?
Yeah.
But my whole thing is, if you want to come after me, and I guess people just don't understand this. If you want to come after me and you went to the school, I'll take it all day. Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo went to school at North Texas. North Texas beat LSU in the NIT tournament in basketball.
Uh-huh.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah.
You want to talk, you know, you want to talk that smack, talk that smack. But, you know, if you're just a fan and you didn't go there, yeah, okay, fine. Great, be a fan. Pay your money. Get the gear. Do all the things. Go to the game. But don't attack me when you've never taken a class at that place.
Right. I understand your perspective.
And people are taking this so wrong right now with me. You know, I'm trying to be clear. I will take anybody from Iowa that went to school there. I'll take it all day.
So Mike Peasley can trash talk you.
Yeah. I don't think Mike went to school at Iowa.
Did he not?
No, I think he went to a small school.
So you won't take it from
stuff
Mike.
Like that. Great. I appreciate your fandom. Here we're not ever going to get these 3 minutes back. I'm sorry. But I just want to explain, you know, now you asked, you know, I'm not saying you can't be a fan. I'm not saying that at all, you know, but you know, I'm not like, there's a young lady, I believe, last night on Twitter who was a Clemson alum. And she was kind of like, oh, you're such a poor take, da 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 da. And I'm like, in 2019, you didn't see me seek you out and talk about us winning a national championship, did I?
Right.
You didn't see me get in your face about that. And I'm not telling you how to be a fan. I'm just saying, you know what? You're not going to find me getting in your face. John Machota is the best example of a guy that has fandom at a university or two universities and is the nicest guy in the world about it. He's a Florida State fan through and through. He puts his money where his mouth is, goes on trips, you know, goes to games. You know, Florida State's beaten LSU twice. Both times John Machota had time, you know. Just said, hey, man, that was a tough one. We played well today. Yeah, you sure did. Congratulations. Iowa played great last night.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Iowa. But if you're, you know, if I'll take all the abuse you want to give me if you took classes at that place.
Well,
that's just me.
I'm
not going to do the same to you. You know, I believe in like honor and, you know, and having. I have pride in my play. You know, I'm not going to sit there and belittle you because my team beat your team. I don't. But people think, oh, well, you know, I don't live in Dallas, so I can't be a Cowboy fan. You know, I just choose not to talk trash. That's me. But if you want to do it to me and you went to school there, I'll acknowledge it. But if you're a fan of that team and you've never stepped foot in that place and you want to trash talk me,
what I'm learning here, guys, is if you want to trash talk Brian about it, you better go take some online classes for Iowa, at least one sure. Online class so that you can sure. You can go on there and tweet
okay,
it.
Okay, let me ask you this, and we've been here 6 minutes into this show, and I'm sorry about this.
No, it's good. This is really Brian's sorry. Weekly
but
Twitter.
I think it's just in general too. I think it's, you know, if you're, it doesn't pertain to professional sports, you know.
It doesn't.
I'm sorry. I mean, everybody's like, well, I can't be, you know, I keep saying that, but no, it's just, it's collegiately, you know, like I have a lot of pride in LSU, you know, people, if they want to talk bad about LSU, you know, I'm like, you know, fine. If you want to do that, great. But you know what? I'm not going to sit there and take it from people that didn't go to school there, you know,
well,
Is this hard to understand, Bob?
I totally understand.
How do people not understand what I'm saying then?
I think a lot of them understand it. They take offense to it as fans of it. But I don't disagree with you. Now I am a troll, Brian. So I'm going to
you are.
So I will I will do that regardless because that's my
but
my
I know
bit.
You. But I know you as a friend. You and I have worked together. I mean, I will. Yeah, I mean, people like will come up to me that I work with, like, oh, LSU was all, you know. I'm like, yeah, you know, they work good,
right?
Good.
But I've also done horns down for you wearing your Sugar Bowl jersey when I lose a bet. So I will also take I'll take the lickings on the bet front. So
you're a man of honor. You know, LSU beat Texas, and you wore my 85 Sugar Bowl jersey.
Yeah,
and you took a picture, and you know, you did an honorable thing. You know, but you and I are like best friends.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry out there. If I've offended anybody out there, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I blocked a ton of you, by the way. You know, if you're watching this, there's probably 50, 60 of you that I blocked last night because you made it personal.
You're also probably going to get off Twitter soon anyway, like you said, so that it won't the block won't even.
Yeah, what the hell?
No, guys, if you would just comment, send us a comment, hashtag save Brian's Twitter. That's what we need today. But before that's enough.
I'm
on
sorry,
the
we're supposed
the
to have a show here, Bobby. We need to probably start
and
the
we're gonna jump right into it
and do a real show.
Nah, we're good. This is good. We needed to air out the grievances. So here's what we're going to talk about today. We have a number of the 30 visits that have finally been reported. Thank you to Nick Harris at DallasCowboys.com, who's done a great job on most of these. We've also had some of these reported by other sources like Ryan Fowler at CBS Sport or at the Draft Network and a couple other areas where things have been reported. So we're going to talk about these 30 visitors for the majority of the show today and what we think about them. And the first guy that I really want to talk about today, Brian, that's been out there reported, a lot of this is offensive line heavy, not much of a surprise. But the first name I want to talk about, I don't think we've talked about this name at all here. And even on the draft show, I think that there's been minimal discussion about him, I think in large part because people assume he's going to be picked ahead of you. But the first one I want to talk about is Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. And just kind of give us an overview, your thoughts on Fuaga and what it says to you that the Cowboys have brought him in as a visitor, how you view him. You know, I know some people say that's a right tackle. Other people say that's somebody who could play guard in the future. Just in general, your kind of overview of Talese Fuaga from Oregon State.
You know what, Bobby, we had this discussion on the draft show today and, you know, cause we were going through the names and I looked down at my notes and you know, I typed like a paragraph worth of notes. I don't think I had one negative comment about that player.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's, you know, sloppy footwork, gets away from the line slow, carries hands low, can't get a head across on a cutoff block. You know, there's things that I could say in my notes that kind of like, he's a good player, but, you know, I can kind of do that. I don't think I had one negative note about him when I watched this tape. And so when we had this discussion on the draft show of why you would bring Fuaga in, is this a trade up? Are they thinking about a trade up here? You know, is that a guy you would target on a trade? Because I felt like where his landing spot was probably going to be at the Jets, maybe at 10. So
yeah, I felt like he's a top 15 player. I figured he would go in the top 15.
Absolutely. So I'm sitting there thinking when Dallas, they had a visit with him at the combine, they're bringing him in on a visit here. Are they trying to create a diversion for somebody? You know, I don't know. I mean, other than Alt from Notre Dame, probably the best tackle in the draft, in my opinion, of the notes that I have and how I would probably stack the player. But I just assumed that he is going to be gone. Now, I also assumed CeeDee Lamb was going to be gone at one time.
Sure.
But that, to me, man, either they know something or we're in for Dallas – probably going up that board and getting somebody.
You know,
that's how I look at him. I just don't see any real holes in his game to, and maybe there's people that have him above Alt.
It could be.
I'd be interested to talk to my gang of seven and say, hey, where do you have Fuaga as opposed to Alt?
You know, when I look at Fuaga, it's real nitpicky stuff, I guess. I mean, there are times where, you know, I feel like he's a little susceptible to the inside move. It's not often.
Yeah,
this is really
Smith was too.
This is really nitpicky. This is not anything that would ding him.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. susceptible to the inside move. I think guys with really advanced hand usage sometimes can get the best of him. I feel like his hand usage is really strong, but I think it feels like I saw times on tape where guys were able to work him a little bit who had advanced hand usage, but that was about it. And it wasn't anything I didn't think couldn't be cleaned up. Now, Brian, where do you think that, I know there's some people who view it as like he might be able to go inside, play guard. I believe his arms came in under 34 inches. Do you view him here as left tackle of the future, left guard? How would you play him?
I play him at left tackle, Bob.
And just roll with tackle, Tyler, man. Smith at left guard.
Yeah. Play him left tackle.
I think he could play both. I'd feel comfortable with him playing both.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you suck about the hand usage and guys that play against him and stuff. I've seen him make players quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've moved guys away from him because they can't get a rush home on him. You know, second level block, downfield, screen, space play. Just, you know, we thought Penny Sewell was good. This guy might be better than Penny Sewell.
That's high praise because Penny Sewell did end up being a big time player. Yeah, he's been somebody.
Same type of same tough, same the agility, second level play, strength. You know, Penny Sewell's a right tackle though, right?
Yeah, plays right tackle for Detroit.
Could be a left tackle. I think he could be a left tackle.
The next name
if I'm wrong about this guy, I do need to retire to the lake. Yeah, there's guys I'm going to be wrong about, but if I'm wrong about this guy, then I need to retire to the lake.
Let's talk about another one of these guys, and that's Jackson Powers Johnson,
yeah.
The center at Oregon. And this is a true center. This is a guy who's played center mm-hmm. since high school, has played a couple different spots for Oregon over the course of his career, like, you know, but mainly just spot fill in or you know, some other things. This is a high IQ, fast mental processor, plays with a lot of power. I mean, Jackson Powers Johnson, to me, as just a, when you look at what he is now, obviously there may be questions medically and other things, but if you just look at what is this guy on the football field, this is an easy, you know, this is an easy guy to like at pick 24 for the Dallas Cowboys, especially with their need at center.
Yeah. You're starting to see, you're getting the Mel Kuypers, the Daniel Jeremiahs, the Lance Zierlines, very talented drafters or scouts all on their own. And we're starting to see guys like Zierline not have him in his first round mock.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jeremiah dropping him to Dallas at 24. Mel Kuyper not having him at all. You know, so to me, the media scouts are starting to catch up with maybe some of the medical information that's coming out from these teams. You know, what exactly is wrong? Is there something to do with does he have hip problems? Is there a knee problem? Shoulder problems? You know, where are we identifying? I'm hearing that there are things that medically need to be checked. And they were mm-hmm. checked at the combine. I'm sure they'll get checked again on these 30 visits. You know, teams will bring him in and they'll say, hey, listen, you might have to take an MRI here again, or we got an MRI, or, you know, this is, you know. So there are things that the media scouts are now starting to hear. And I believe it's scaring them off. And I think that's why Dallas is going to have a shot for him at 24.
How comfortable would you be taking a player with a potential medical flag there at 24? Or do you think Dallas wouldn't take them unless they were confident in what he was medically?
I think Dallas will take him if they're confident. You know, what could he have? Could he? Okay, I'll give you an example of something. Lyle Collins had problems. His problems were of off the field when he came out.
Yeah.
But Lyle Collins, you know, and Lyle Collins dealt with this when he was here, but I'm just using him as an example because he's an offensive lineman. Lyle Collins had a hip issue, like a tear in his hip, you know? And I asked about this a while back, and I just was like, what's the deal with a torn? It sounds terrible. And it's like, well, you know, I've been told, well, there's some players that have it and they don't know they have it until they do an MRI. You know, so now you're sitting there thinking, well, wait, Lyle Collins, he's a, you know, but what happened to him? Remember when he came in the pandemic, he was over, you know, overweight,
yeah,
the hip problems and all that. So I'm just using him as an example.
Sure.
But is it a hip problem? Is it a shoulder problem? Is it a knee problem? There's things that people, these medical staffs are having to look at. And so that's, I mean, if he has had no problem with it, then this is something that they feel comfortable with, because they were comfortable with Lyle Collins. Lyle Collins wasn't a first round pick, but he played here, you know, and at one point in time, he did have a hip problem. So I don't know with Powers Johnson. I don't know. I can't tell you what the exact medical condition is, but I'm hearing the same thing that probably Daniel Jeremiah and Lance Zierlein and Mel Kiper are probably hearing.
You are listening to the Love the Star podcast. Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Brian, let's take a look at some of the other names on this list. I know we've talked recently about, you know, Graham Barton at Duke. Let's maybe look at some. What's that?
His shoulder. You know, Graham Barton. Yeah. I talked to a scout real quick, and I'm sorry, Bob. I keep interrupting.
No, you're good.
Go ahead. Over time, and I'm like, I'm always interrupting. And I apologize. But Graham Barton, he in his pro day, he's dealing with a shoulder. No punch. No bench press.
Yeah.
And he's trying to rehab a shoulder, but he went through all the other workout stuff. I wonder if on people's boards that Graham Barton is now becoming center one.
You know, yeah.
That's
as a guy who hasn't played center since freshman year.
There you go.
But it's impressive. It has impressive tape. And I think there's stuff that you can project there. And I think that he's an intelligent player, and I like
very highly intelligent.
I really love the athleticism. Yeah. Like when you're talking about on the interior, for me, I don't want the Osiris Torrance concrete feet guy on the interior in this day and age. I want the guy who can get up to the second level. Cause if you're going to give me somebody who's got the heavy feet and linebackers are going to be able to dip around them with athleticism, then to me, it's like, okay, what good is it if you can maul the linebacker if you can't reach him? And so Barton to me is a guy who I feel good about his ability to get to the second level. But let's take a look at some of these other positions that maybe we haven't focused as much on. I want to talk about Edgerrin Cooper at Texas A&M, a guy who, man, when you talk about explosiveness and violence and not to me, at least in the when I think of guys who we talk about, you know, running downhill and hitting big, like in recent history, maybe think of like Jalen Smith or Malik Jefferson or some of these guys who it feels like they were a little bit of guessers. They didn't always see it right. It was more guessing. I feel like Edgerrin Cooper sees it the right way a lot of the time. It's not just guessing with him, but a guy who plays hair on fire, a lot of physicality, smart football player. I would love it if Edgerrin Cooper was a guy that they would be able to get in the second round. I think they're in kind of a purgatory position with him where he's going to go after they pick at 24 and before they pick at 56. But Brian, in general, your thoughts on Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, the linebacker?
This kid might be overshown is who this is.
Yeah.
It's 6'2", 230 pounds. I mean, you will see there's, as you mentioned, Bobby, there's no wasted movements or steps with this guy. He makes things happen around the ball. He's got a physical side to his game. There's some pop to his tackles. He's got some snaps where he's not accounted for and he's punishing the quarterback. He plays downhill. He's not going to let the ball carrier get away from him. He's got some impressive pass rush numbers too. 10 sacks in the linebacker position with a bunch of pressures. He's got a feel for how to attack the pocket. He might be maxed out weight-wise at 230. But, man, he can hold his own with bigger blockers. I love the way he finishes. This kid's got a chance to really – and you're right. I think Dallas is – if you really, really like him, you're probably going to have to draft him at 24 because I don't think he gets to you at 56. I just don't. Now, I will say this, Bobby. There's a name that they're going to bring in, or we'll see if they bring in. I'm assuming they are. Is Travion Wallace from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to look at him at all?
I have not watched him yet. I know you're talking about Trevin Wallace at Kentucky.
Trevin Wallace, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Trevin Wallace, my bad. I you know me, I'm a hack with these names.
I know Nicole Hutchinson at DallasCowboys.com had mentioned him.
I think she's on to this one. I think she's on to this one. This guy's 6'1", he's 237 pounds. And you watch him play, it doesn't take long to find this guy on film. If you didn't know his number, you would say, who's the guy making all the tackles? And that's him. At that size, he's quick to trigger, downhill, playing on the move, reads quickly, fills, covers ground, finish. There's a plaster factor to his game because when he hits guys, he's plastering them. And I think guys feel it when he hits him. He is smooth in coverage. He's got a feel for where he needs to be, usually around the ball. He knows how to get in the throwing lanes. He's got to be careful how aggressive he is at times so he doesn't get fooled on play actions or running plays. But, man, he's a young guy. He's only 21 years old. But the way that he plays, you swear he's been doing it all his life. I think there's going to be, when we get done with this list, if we're so inclined to get all the names, I think there's going to be a lot more linebackers on this list. And
yeah,
I would strongly consider this guy. I'm not going to say in the first round. The second round, I think, is going to be, he's just that good. I just don't know how much depth there really, really is as a linebacker because there's a lot of guys that are shorter, hurt. You know, this guy might be somebody when you start to talk about complete type players, man, you might have to grab this guy at 56. You might have to do that if you're that interested in a linebacker that I think makes a ton of plays.
We have talked a lot about Jonathan Brooks at Texas and him being a potential fit here. He is going to be a 30 visitor here for the Cowboys. Let's look at some of the other running backs that are on this list, though, because they're very clearly, if you look at this visit list, they're hunting running backs as well. Yeah. I'll start with the guy that I like more than anybody else seems to, and that's Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. and look, I mean, big guy, 6'2", 245. I mean, massive dude. I think that you see the frame that can withstand, like, you know, the heavy bell cow type carries. I don't think sure. That's the type of player that he'd be, but I mean, he can handle whatever workload you want to give him. I think the strength, the balance, and the footwork for a guy his size is really impressive. I think the way that he, you know, sees holes and is decisive and gets to me, it's very reminiscent. I know I've made the easy comparison before, but it's very reminiscent to me of James Conner. The only issue with Allen is when you're 6'2 and you're that size, you need to pass protect better than you do. And he's obviously not going to be a quick footed athlete. He's not going to win any sprints to the end zone, but I really, really like Braylon Allen. I know you are not as high on him, but I think he is a really good 1-2 punch type of runner to add to your backfield.
Yeah. There's not much flash or wiggle, more straight line. But he's got a lot of power to his game. I don't think he could really sustain long runs. I think that's something that a good initial burst, and then he tends to slow down. He plays like a bully more than anything else. He does catch the ball well enough. He doesn't fight it or struggle when it's thrown his direction, but his stiffness might limit how much you really want to do that with him. But I love the toughness. That's impressive. I don't think the elusiveness isn't. So I'm more of a Brooks from Texas, Trey Benson. I know from Florida State is a guy that I really, really like a lot. There's so many different names of these backs.
Let's circle around over to Bucky Irving. Where do you have Bucky Irving from Oregon? Where do you have him in your stack of running backs? I have him sixth.
Yeah, let me look at my
Bucky Irving is and just his combine numbers really quickly while you're pulling that up.
Yeah.
5'9", 192, 4.55 40 speed, 29.5-inch vertical, 9.7 broad. Not the explosiveness that you would hope to see from somebody a little smaller, a little lighter. But I mean, look, he is a guy who plays with really good instincts. I think the vision's really good. He doesn't, you know, get knocked down easily. He can make his way through contact with solid contact balance. But I think that overall there are serious athletic limitations here, especially when coupled with that size, that would have him below some other backs for me. But I don't hate him as a running back. I've got him in the third round. I have him behind Brooks, Benson, Allen, Estime, and Lloyd.
Yeah, I've got it the other way. I got him in the third as well. I've got when you start to talk about, I love Lloyd from USC. I know he's 5'8", he's over 200 pounds. I think there's a lot you can do with him. I love Wright from Tennessee as another guy. Then I have Allen, then I have Irving. So I have those four guys. So he would be number six on my running back stack right now. Brooks, Benson, Lloyd, Wright, Allen, Irving would be my six guys.
And what is it that what do you like about Bucky Irving? Given, obviously, I mean, when you see some of the athletic testing and you see the size that he comes in at, there are some limitations there. But like I said, he brings some really intriguing traits to the table. And you know, I think the vision and the instincts and the contact balance, I think those are all really big pluses with him.
Yeah, I think he'll surprise you with how tough he runs between the tackles, because he's not the tallest guy. You mentioned it, Bob, 5'9", 192. But, I mean, he will lower his shoulder and he will plow ahead when asked to do so. He's got some strength to his game. He's got some density to his body, low center of gravity. You see tacklers bounce off him, change of direction with the ball in his hands. He could get out of trouble this way. I don't see long or home run speed to his game, and I don't see him as a threat every time he touches the ball. But as a pass catcher, he's outstanding, and he's very comfortable doing that. His size does limit him some as a pass protector. I think you're going to need to have another back to split time with him. I don't know if he could be your featured guy.
Yeah.
But I think the toughness is something that I really appreciate about him.
Now, let's finish up with this one name before we go to the mailbag. We've talked about a couple different positions here. The one receiver that's on this list so far that we've seen reported, Josh Edwards at CBS Sports, who covers the NFL draft and the Kentucky football landscape, is reporting that Malachi Corley at Western Kentucky is a visitor for the Cowboys. And Corley is a guy who, I mean, the easy comparison people keep giving him is Deebo Samuel. That's the one that he's most consistently got. It's mm-hmm. funny. Is he always the best when it comes to contested catches? No, he could be better there. I think he could improve as a route runner. I don't think he's a bad one, but he could improve. Mm-hmm. But man, the thing with him is you remember the old, Joseph Randall line about meat on the bone.
Yeah.
When the ball gets in his hands, he will get you everything possible. There's not going to be a lot that he leaves on the bone with Malachi Corley. So I would love to see him in an offense like this one that tries to get the ball out quickly and get the ball in playmakers' hands.
Yeah, I mean, he was originally a cornerback that was shifted to wide receiver. And so he's got elite athletic skills, the movement. He is one of the best receivers, Bobby, I've seen in this draft when it comes to run after catch. And we've got several of them. Pearsall, those guys, Pearsall at Florida is another one. McConkey at Georgia, another really good run after catch. But this guy's a nightmare to bring down in the open field. He has running back power with receiver elusiveness is what he's got. The balance, the vision, he's going to punish defenders with his running style. I think his hands are top shelf. I really, really do. It's out same when he snatching the ball on the move away from his body, the catch radius with his hands. There's some instincts as a route runner. He'll carry his route no matter where it goes. The coaches do a really nice job of getting him the ball in space. Love the way he catches the ball on the move. He can make the tough adjusting catches. But the toughness, I mean, you could see it in this background of his game, the defensive side of him, that background, and you can see it as a game, but his overall skills, I mean, it's so solid in so many different areas.
Yeah, and where would he stack up for you? This is obviously a loaded receiver class. What receiver is he for you on your rankings?
I have Coleman from, this is second round receivers, Coleman from Florida State, Mitchell from Texas, Corley from Western Kentucky.
Okay, so I have him as my seventh receiver. I've got Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze in the first round, and then I have Keon Coleman at Florida State, Ladd McConkey at Georgia, A.D. Mitchell at Texas, and then it's Corley at Western Kentucky.
My LSU bias has me having Brian Thomas up there, but he would be the seventh guy on my board.
Okay, and that's where he's at for me. He's seventh receiver. Different guys, different, ice cream flavors and stuff like that, sure. Right there. But ultimately, having the same spot. All right, so those are some of the visitors. Hopefully, we'll have some more that we can talk about here in the future. Again, we're getting very close to draft day here for the Dallas Cowboys. You're listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, Brian, it is now time for our Dean Julia Love the Star mailbag. We're going to turn things over to our listeners, get their thoughts and their comments, touch on some of the subjects they want to discuss. First question here from Stacy. She says, do you think there's any possibility of a holdout for Micah, CD, or Dak this offseason? Dak sounds a little crazy because he's bet on himself before, but this is very much like the year he was franchise tagged and then got hurt. Brian, I don't know about you. I think the best shot of those three would be CD Lamb. That if Lamb didn't have a deal in place, I could potentially see him saying, hey, I need to get something done here. Dak, it sounds like there's an understanding there. You know, Micah Parsons is a guy who is represented by David Mulugeta. Typically, Mulugeta's guys will hold out going into the fifth-year option if they're going to do that, that they don't want to play on that option. But I think heading into year four, he'll be there, especially after all the involvement and, you know, discussion he's had about being a leader. I think he needs to be there. But I think I'd be surprised if any of them did. But if one was going to, I think it'd be Lamb.
I agree.
That's simple. There you go. Brian brought us.
No, I agree. I mean, like I said, to me, if we were further along on Parsons' situation, mm-hmm. if we were into that last year, you know, then in the fifth year, I could see that happening. But I'm like I said, I don't think any of them hold out. I mean, I really don't. By the way, you know, I really always appreciate Stacy. She's a really good follower of all the things we do.
Yeah, absolutely. But
the things that I just don't, like I say, I just don't see it with these guys. I mean, we saw it a little bit with Zach Martin, though, last year, right? I mean, that was,
yeah.
I mean, with a $50,000 day fine thing, I didn't know how long we were going to see it. And Zach Martin just went ahead and did it. I mean, he just.
Yeah, and got it and got his money.
With it. You know, I'm going to hold out. But if I had to handicap him, I would say that probably Lamb would be the first one on that list.
Next question here from, let's go from at aspiring journalist. Who is your highest rated safety that you've watched and what round? Safety is a little bit of an ice cream. Yeah. Safety is a bit of an ice cream position this year.
Yeah. Newbin from Minnesota is my highest rated safety that I have on my board. I have him as a free safety. Man, there's a lot of really, really good safeties in this class. Newbin didn't run particularly well, but the thing about him is he is, I still think he's one of the best safeties in the country. The awareness, the instincts, when others are standing still on defense, he's in attack mode, outstanding straight line speed, quickness. I think he plays with a burst. I know he plays the burst. I think he punishes ball carriers with his closing speed. He makes a ton of plays downhill, attacking the line of scrimmage or wide in space while defending the runner of the pass. I just tracking the ball. He's got to feel how to play through the defender in order to make the play, the offensive player in order to make the play. He's not going to let a receiver make a play on him, you know, and that's what I really, really like about him. He's got outstanding tackling technique. He's got a sure big hits. He's the type of player that's going to leave a mark on the ball carrier. I just don't ever see him guys giving an inch on him. He's probably going to be available in the first round. I wonder if he will be picked in the first round, but I couldn't just say, okay, let's just, you know, window dressing and put him and say, this guy's a first round player, you know, 6'1", 199. He's tough. God, this guy's tough.
And so he's one of your first round grades then this year.
Yeah, I've got 22 of them. I've got 22 of those first round grades, and you know when my guess that probably him, Wiggins, and maybe Brian Thomas will be the last ones taken. I take that back. Thomas, Latham, and then Wiggins and Newbin will be. Those are going to be some first round grades that I have a feeling might be on the board when Dallas picks.
Ooh, I think if Latham got, I'd be very surprised if Latham got down to them. But I mean, I think they'd be excited for that, honestly.
If you're thinking of just a right tackle only, but if someone might play him at guard, I think there's some of these guards that are going, or some of these tackles that are end up being guards. You know,
yeah,
Morgan from Arizona. Morgan from Arizona, potentially Latham from Alabama. If you think he's a right tackle only, hell, you might try him at guard.
I think Fatanu and Fuaga are guys that can play tag. I would not be surprised if there are teams that view both Fatanu and Fuaga as guards, though. Yeah. I mean, I think that there are teams who definitely would view it that way. My top safety in this draft is Jaden Hicks, the safety
He's
from
really
Washington
good.
State. And I have
from Georgia.
Yeah. I have him in the second round. Yeah, you've got Bullard from Georgia. I'm a bigger fan, I think, than a lot of people of Bullock at USC.
Yeah, Bullock. Yeah, there's Bullard and
Bullock. Bullard at Georgia, Bullock at USC.
Right.
I've got four in the second round. I've got Hicks, Bullock, Bullard, and then Newbin. Those are my second round safeties. And so, I mean, if they want to take one in the second round, they might be in a decent spot there to make that happen. Next question here from John. Is there a defensive player that falls to 24 that you would take over any of the potential offensive linemen that would be available, Brian?
We talked about this on the draft show. We talked about what would you do with Latu, UCLA versus Florida State? Would you do anything with Arnold or Mitchell at cornerback?
Okay, if I've got... Who's
Murphy,
my offense?
You can maybe think about Murphy too.
Throw me an offensive lineman's name that's on the board that I'm trying to decide.
Okay, we'll just do what we did on the mock draft the other day, right?
Okay.
Say there's Guyton,
yep.
Latham,
mm-hmm.
and Morgan Mims. Okay, we'll go Guyton, okay. Latham, Mims.
Yep.
As on the board, we'll say Powers. We'll say Barton and Powers Johnson are gone.
Okay.
Okay. So the centers are gone. You got the tackles, Guyton, Latham, Mims.
Okay.
And you have the opportunity to draft either Latu, Edge, UCLA, versus Edge, Florida State, or Mitchell from Toledo gets to you.
Quinyon Mitchell. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So Mitchell versus or Latu as my options compared to the offensive linemen of Latham, Mims, and Guyton. The only one I'm wrestling with versus – and Latham would be the top offensive lineman for me. The only one I'm wrestling with there would be Jared Verse at Florida State. And I don't think that that's enough for me to take over Latham, because I think Latham's going to be a good pro in the NFL for a long time. And so – I need to solidify that. Now, if you're telling me, you know, it's Mims and Guyton, I'm probably taking Verse. It might be hard with Latu, just because I'd need to know what the medical's looking like on Latu, how they feel about, you know, the neck and everything. That would be the big question there. Now, if you told me it was instead of Mitchell, you told me it was Arnold, who I don't think is getting out of the top 15.
What about Wiggins?
I like Wiggins a lot. Wiggins over Guyton and Mims, but not over Latham for me.
Okay.
So that's where I would come down on that one. So, look, lots of fun draft hypotheticals to get into as we prepare to wrap up this push to the draft. And then before you know it, rookie minicamp is here, then OTAs, then minicamp, and then training camp in the blink of an eye. Brian brought us. That does it for us here today on the Love the Star podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We will continue to try to run down as many of these different names that the Cowboys could be interested in. Keep an eye on the free agent pool. Yes, Brian, what you got for me?
Real quick as you finish, thanks for everybody. I'm sorry about my rant the first 6 minutes of the show.
Bring Brian back to Twitter. #BringBrian back to Twitter.
You know, I just, like I said, hey, a lot of pride in my university, not being butthurt, but you know, if you went to that school, come after me all you want, but that's just me. Sorry, everybody's not kind of following along with what I'm trying to do, you know.
Old man,
I guess.
No.
Thank you for everybody allowing me to say that.
For proud LSU alum, Brian Broaddus, I am temporary Iowa Hawkeyes super fan, Bobby Belt. And we appreciate you guys listening and rocking with us leading up to the draft. We'll talk to you guys again later this week.